And welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, right here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our great friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site on the planet. It is I, Matt Kuhn, and it is us, fans, and it is here, WednesdayNightWar.com, the weekly Wednesday Night War show, which is going to start tonight. We're going to tell you what we chose to see. We're going to tell you which we liked better, and we're going to tell you what we're looking forward to next week after a great WednesdayNightWar.com day to day. Stay tuned. It's Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. So the first thing is, what did we choose to watch? What did we choose to take? Well, today we are choosing, Matthew and I, we are choosing to watch AEW and to tape NXT. And I'm going to judge each episode on what I thought the week before. For me, I was more interested in what AEW did this week, just because of the angles last week. The show was great, but the angles last week, especially the show closing angle, made me want to see it live. NXT, on the other hand, had a great show with great matches. I think one down part of it, I think it stretched out a little bit, because they wanted to hit that overrun. So some matches might have been a little longer than they should have been. Very intrigued last week by Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano. But at the same time, no pressing issue. The angles weren't as hot to me, although the matches were just as good. It was a close call, but we are choosing to watch AEW first this week. All right, so all done watching the wrestling now. Going to recap the show a little bit, give you thoughts on it, and then tell you which one won, according to me, and which one I'm looking forward to next week. Of course, when we say next week, we mean which one we're looking forward to right now. Things could change over the course of the week, and you'll find out at the beginning of next week's show which one we watched first, for sure. The AEW show started out with a tag team match, Young Bucks versus Private Party, and the big surprise was that Private Party wins. Now, looking at it from the perspective of booking, it makes a lot of sense that the Bucks are an attraction already. They don't need the tag team belts. And also, the tag team belts, the first champions, is a great way to really boost somebody else. At the same time, someone else can get the rub from beating the Young Bucks. And in this case, it was Private Party. Now, to me, Private Party aren't necessarily ready yet, but damn, they're really, really good. And man, the guy who did the Shooting Star Press, I think his name was Quinn. Quinn did the best Shooting Star Press I've ever seen in my life. And I'm telling you what, give these guys a year or two in the spotlight, they might be the best tag team in the world. Very exciting match. Now, the highlight for me was the second segment of the show, which was Chris Jericho. And it may have been his best promo of all time. It may have been one of the best promos I've ever heard of all time. It really clicked in my head, and I guess it should have clicked in all of our heads. Jericho's the difference maker. Jericho really is. Jericho stepping up and giving you an unfettered, unfiltered, do what he's always wanted to do. If you ever read his books or hear his interview, he always talks about being stopped from doing this or that, or deciding to do something and being yelled at. This is the Jericho he's always wanted to be. And I'm telling you what, man, he was pretty amazing in this promo. Really was great. And then set the name, the tone for his faction, he called it the Inner Circle, which sets up probably the main feud in AEW right now, which is going to be the Inner Circle versus the Elite. And of course, the Elite, the Bucks, Paige, Cody, and Omega, but also kind of some offshoots as far as Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, and as we saw, Darby Allin. The next match, Jimmy Havoc versus Darby Allin, and I turned to Matthew and I said, you know, this match is really going to be a test because we have two indie guys, really, right? And I don't say that disparagingly, but two guys that people don't know who are known for their indie work, and they don't have anybody else in there with them. They don't have a Cody in there. They don't have a Young Bucks in there. It's just the two of them, Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin on TNT. And, you know, Jimmy Havoc's supposed to be this crazy guy, but I'm not seeing any of that. I'm not seeing the differentiators I need to make him this edgy, crazy guy in an organization that has a Darby Allin and a Joey Janela and a John Moxley besides the haircut. We need more. And the match was okay. It fit the purpose of bringing Darby Allin up higher and ready to face Jericho. The fans are going to go crazy for next week's match. And I predict as this week goes on, the hype will grow and grow for this Darby Allin Chris Jericho match. Darby Allin is someone that I think, even though he's small, even though he's different, I believe he's going to be a future world champion. I really do. He's different. He's got a gimmick that is genuine as far as being the skateboarder. And also, he comes across as someone that younger people can connect with in a real way. So the segment was a win, even though the match was kind of for me. The next match was Bea Priestley and Sakura versus Riho and Dr. Britt Baker. I'm not sure what it is for me. It might be familiarity or it might be something else, but the women wrestlers of AEW aren't really hitting to me the way that NXT women's division or WWE women's division does. It's possible it could be familiarity, but to me, when I watched NXT later, it looks like NXT got a bunch of first-round draft picks and the AEW got a bunch of veterans. And the first-round draft picks look like stars. In my humble opinion, the AEW women are completely overshadowed character-wise, wrestling-wise, by the NXT women. And the match was won by Baker and Riho, and more heat between Bea Priestley and Britt Baker. I guess that's an interesting semi-women's feud, but to me, it doesn't really hold my interest. I'm not sure if it's holding the fans' interest. Shawn Spears versus Jon Moxley. Two people who are stars, you know, Shawn Spears from WWE, Jon Moxley from WWE. The match kind of dragged, and we're going to talk about match quality in a little bit. It was fine. You know, it was fine. It was a match. It was a match between two guys, and it was good to see Moxley back on TV. But for me, it was the angle after the match that was really great, where Omega walked out with two weapons and threw one to Moxley. The angle afterwards where Pac attacked Kenny Omega and left him laying, there was an interesting, subtle communication interchange between Pac and Moxley. At the same time, Moxley did not attack Omega while he was down. So he's a character who runs on some kind of moral code, you know, if you will, as does Omega, who threw him the weapon to have a fair fight, which might sow the seeds later on for some kind of alliance. And then we had our main event, two people from the Inner Circle, including Chris Jericho and rising star Sammy Guevara. If there's a story to be told of one rising star out of these last couple of weeks, it's probably Sammy Guevara versus Dustin Rhodes and Hangman Adam Page. I think they could have done a better job of presenting that Hangman Adam Page and Dustin Rhodes were taking up for the Elite and were representing the Elite and were going to get justice. They had a lot going on in the post-match angle. Again, the match was fine. It was okay. And we're going to talk about match quality at the end. The angle at the end, there was a lot going on, a ton. But I think it all worked. I really do. I think having MJF come and make the save and tease the heel turn yet again, I think they should hold off on that as long as possible. By the time it actually happens, it is going to be a money-drawing feud, for real. And then Darby finishing the show by coming out on his skateboard, not falling, jumping off on Jericho, was really a great closing angle. And once again, setting those sides, like maybe Darby is on the side of the Elite now, or maybe he's not, but he came out this week, and it leaves us looking forward to more tag team tournament stuff next week, Darby versus Jericho next week, and I think most importantly, more on the Inner Circle versus the Elite feud, which is the main feud. It's the one that people are going to look back on and say, oh yeah, that was the first thing they did. So a lot of pressure on that. That's your AEW review. I thought it was a good show. You know, the wrestling was okay. The angles were great. The star quality was good. The crowd kept it going. And I will say that because of all those factors besides quote-unquote match quality, it really flew by. Like, it flew by very, very quickly. I thought it was a really good show. Comparing it to the first show, I think the first show was a little bit better. But I think they did everything they had to do on this show to keep the interest of the fans that came back. The other thing that happened on this show is not only is Jericho the number one heel and the number one name and the biggest star in wrestling right now, because I really do think he is, but Cody Rhodes is the biggest babyface in wrestling. WWE has had a lot of trouble creating babyfaces, and Cody Rhodes is the number one babyface. He is his dad's kid, and that was pretty interesting to see. NXT started off right away with a good match after a good highlight package of last week, which showed it was a good week where a lot of stuff went on. Lio Rush versus Drew Gulak for the Cruiserweight Championship match. I'm still very curious as to how they're going to integrate the Cruiserweights, because when you look at, say, Undisputed Era, all four of them look like Cruiserweights. Lio Rush is smaller than most, right? But a Drew Gulak looks like he's the size of the guys in Undisputed Era. So I'm not sure how they're going to show that the main roster guys are different than the Cruiserweights. But in this particular case, it was a really good match. Lio Rush, I saw when he was in WWE as a heel, the potential for him to be a huge babyface star. I think maybe downplay the Cruiserweights a little bit, but keep the championship on him and have him defend it, have him keep the belt forever, and really build the star that is Lio Rush. I just wish they would let him use some of his music. Speaking of music, it becomes apparent to me that the NXT music is really, really good. I'm not saying anything negative about the All Elite music, but man, music can be such an important part of everything. Music makes movies better. Music makes TV shows better. Music really accents a situation, and the music for NXT is just off the chain good. And not just that, the mixing of the music with the live crowd and the announcers is just about perfect. I bet you give AEW a few weeks, they'll figure it out. But it seems to me they were still adjusting, and I don't think the music is as memorable or as awesome as the NXT music. Some of the best wrestling music I think that's ever been done. Rhea Ripley versus Aaliyah. Rhea Ripley is someone who looks to be a big part of the women's division in the future for WWE. She seems like a star to me. And they did some squash matches on this episode of NXT. I don't hate that at all. I don't hate that one bit. I think it's a way you get finishers over. I think it's a way you get characters over. I think it's a way you build a parity between who's good and who's not. This was a good example of that. Aaliyah is just not happening, but Rhea is somebody who looks like a very, very volatile threat to Shayna Baszler. Next was Breezango with a nice full big entrance versus the Forgotten Sons. This was okay. It was short, and it was all not really a squash, but it really showed that the Forgotten Sons were really the guys that they're thinking are the big part of the future. Breezango, despite that big intro and that big hoopla with coming in, being beaten like that surprised me a little bit. They did a promo for Keith Lee, Donovan Dijakovic. I think people are looking forward to that match. I know I am. It was a good match. And speaking of squashes, we had Cameron Grimes, the former Trevor Lee, have a match against Boa. He won it in 9 seconds with that insane double foot stomp that he does. I love everything about Trevor Lee, and I've seen him do longer matches. I know that he's done longer than an hour and 20-minute matches in his territory in North Carolina. It was a great way to showcase Cameron Grimes again and makes up for the misstep, of having him have a longer match the week before. And again, this show is flying by as well. So for the top of the hour, we have a big match, the Undisputed Era's Roderick Strong versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Now, Strong is in the Undisputed Era. Collectively, they come off like stars, but sometimes when they come off by themselves, they're not as big a deal, I think. They don't seem that way. I think Adam Cole has just so much presence. He just has all that star quality. And Roderick Strong is a great wrestler, but man, Isaiah Swerve Scott, you want to talk about future star? I have watched this fella for a long time under the name Shane Strickland, and he just gets better and better. He's got tons of charisma, tons of star quality. He's got a different way in the ring. And Roderick Strong got the win, but it was a big step up for Swerve, and I think we're going to see more and more of him unless they're dumb. Now, speaking of stars, Velveteen Dream comes out. Another slamming song, right? Just a slamming tune. And Tommaso Ciampa comes out as well. Another great song. Between Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream, two very different wrestlers who have an entirely different threat to the Undisputed Era. Ciampa himself has gravitas now. You know, he comes out and he's got a presence to him. The next match, Dakota Kai versus Bianca Belair. This was more of an even type match. Bianca Belair, guys, is huge future star. I don't know what their plans are for NXT, if they're just going to keep the people down there. I hope they're paying them like it. And they're not going to elevate people. If Bianca Belair stays down there, they need to put everything behind her. She looks great. She wrestles great. She's got the character. She's got everything you need, and she's there now. Big fan of Bianca Belair. Dakota Kai is great, too. She's kind of like Bayley Light. People like her, but I'm not sure if she really can do it in the ring. Belair, dude, she can do it in the ring. Another segment promoting the big match between Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee. It makes us look forward to it, as well as the Pete Dunne match versus Damian Priest. And they do more of a well-rounded kind of vignette for Damian Priest, the former Punishment Martinez. Our final match is a big little match, Kushida versus Walter. There is something special about Kushida. I always enjoyed him in New Japan Wrestling when I first started watching it. He was someone I was like, that guy is a little different, and he is really an interesting wrestler. A very interesting contrast in styles. A great match. Really good match. If you like wrestling, this was the match for you. And Walter won with just a giant, what they call ripcord lariat, Rainmaker, just destroyed him. And it was a good night of wrestling. So who won the Wednesday night war? Well, it's an interesting thing if you think about it, because I think, again, one show had better wrestling in the ring, and other show had a better overall presentation and hotter angles. And I'm not one of these guys who thinks that matches don't matter, the quality of matches don't matter. I do think today's day and age, wrestling fans are attracted to and enjoy matches that are good. As a kid, I didn't care how good a match was, but I think people watching wrestling now is a little different, and I think good matches will draw new fans in. However, I don't think it's the most important thing, obviously, because for the second week in a row, I can undoubtedly say the best wrestling matches were on NXT, but the best show was AEW. AEW was just hot. The angles were hot. Jericho's promo was hot. The Omega Moxley thing was hot. The final angle at the end with MJF and Darby Allin, super hot, wasn't match quality, had nothing to do with that, and totally enjoyed it. Made me really want to know what happens next week. NXT, on the other hand, is putting together a great wrestling show. If they keep doing things the way they're doing them, I think they're going to be just as good, have just as good ratings. I think they're doing a slow burn on a lot of these characters. They're not burning through a lot of angles. I think they're taking their time and building these people up. And I think that's a smart approach too, because they've already kind of blinked a couple times at WWE, and they don't want to shift up all of a sudden and say, okay, let's do some huge angles, and slower is better. I think it's working for them. If AEW can keep putting on these hot angles and these hot endings and pull them off and not look like they're burning the town, God bless them. It was really great. It flew by. I give AEW my win for the week, but NXT shouldn't feel bad because they had another great show. So that being said, what am I going to watch first next week? I got to say AEW. I want to see Darby Allin versus Chris Jericho. I want to see what's going to happen with Omega and Moxley. I'm going to see what's going to happen with the Inner Circle versus the Elite. Now, of course, I'm looking forward to NXT and Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijakovic. And, of course, the return of Ciampa versus Garza for his return. Looking forward to all that. But if you look at what makes us want to watch wrestling, I think it's angles. I think it's angles and good performances and good promos and also good matches. We don't want shit matches. We didn't have any bad matches all night long. It was a great night of wrestling all around, but the win goes to AEW, and the show right now, unless something changes over the course of the week, that I'm going to watch first next week is AEW as well. But we hope the first thing you listen to every single day is Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. Please download us on all your devices. Go ahead and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tomorrow is going to be a different show. Tomorrow is going to be a non-wrestling show. I don't plan on being one of these wrestling shows that say, I don't want to talk about wrestling. Let's talk about my salads. Don't want to do that. But we're going to have a special show tomorrow with some special guests as we talk about El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie. I am too big a Breaking Bad fan and too excited for this fucking movie not to have one or maybe two special guests on to talk about it tomorrow. But of course, for all you wrestling fans, we talk wrestling every single day. Go ahead and download all our episodes for the past couple weeks. They don't take up much room, a lot less room than I take up. And hopefully you'll tune in tomorrow as we talk about El Camino, a non-wrestling show on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon.